a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A trip to Las Vegas on the line. Pajewski looking to get it in. Looking to get it in. Oh, boy. Just as the Curry back to him. The shot. No good. Touchdowns. The Dragon has been slain. The Rockets have ended their 15-game losing streak to the Golden State Warriors. And oh, by the way, Viva Las Vegas.
That is a slow clap for your Houston Rockets, who are on to the NBA Cup semifinals in Oklahoma City against the Thunder on Saturday night after a fun 91-90 victory over the Golden State Warriors to finally beat them after 15 straight losses against them. What a win. You want to weigh in on it? You want to bask in the afterglow? A victory, you can. You know how to do it. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can join us on YouTube, too, at ESPN Houston. I've said this a couple of times before, and I'm just going to keep on saying it. I really enjoy the Ime Udoka era of Houston Rockets basketball because I like a little football in my basketball. I like a team that plays suffocating defense. And to just take a look at that moment you heard beautifully called by Craig Ackerman on Space City Home Network, the Rockets closed out the game exactly the way Ime Udoka wants them to. Swarming defense that the Houston Texans could take note of, where I'm not convinced that the Golden State Warriors got the ball inbounds in time. They get it inbounds to a guy that you are totally fine taking the last shot of a game, and Jabari Smith Jr. blocks it. This team does things that the Daryl Morey era, James Harden era, Houston Rockets teams would never dream of doing. And it's why you got to be happy with the direction they're in. It's why you should want them to keep everything as is. I'm loving this. I don't see how anyone couldn't. And obviously, wins help. The team getting off to the start they're getting off to helps. Being first in the Southwest Division a quarter of the way through the year helps. But aesthetically, this is the basketball that I have been dying for. And to see that all come together where you win a 90s basketball game that was stuck literally in the 90s on the scoreboard at the end. I mean, your boy has got quite the liftoff. Am I right? You know, we talk about the deep steel blue pants tents and such. The Texans haven't really been getting it going for us, but the Rockets mojo is back. And oh yeah, I'm lifting off. I'm lifting off watching this basketball. They held Golden State to 90 points. 18 points in the first quarter. 19 in the second. 21 in the fourth. 8 24-second violations. That one really got me excited. 30 points off of 22 turnovers. And Golden State only had 9 free throw trips. This is everything I wanted from them. And you know what? I've got that fever. I've got that cup fever. You know, a wise philosopher who many wondered about the sexuality of. This wise philosopher had a great song that I think everyone should have stuck in their head, seeing as the Houston Rockets, they might not be playing for an NBA championship in December, but they're playing for that cup of life. Hit it. Oh, yeah.
The cup of life, this is the one.
It's the one!
Yeah.
Take control.
Nothing can hold you back if you really want it.
You gotta go and get it. Do you really want it? Do you really want it? It is. We celebrated last night. So there you go, guys. Thank you very much to Ricky Martin for giving us this certified banger that we should all be playing on repeat with your Houston Rockets advancing the way that they just did in the NBA Cup. Some people are not a fan of this on the Twitch. Some people are not a fan of this on the YouTube. Well, I just think that you're uncultured. If you don't like Ricky Martin and the Cup of Life, if you don't like this kind of Houston Rockets basketball, Virginia Buttonweed wishes that we had the William Hung version of this. Did William Hung do the Cup of Life? I feel like William Hung might have done Livin' La Vida Loca, the old chubby Asian guy that was on American Idol back in the day. What a star he was. Must be great to be such a disaster on American Idol that you can put together a career singing. Because of how bad that you were, Sean's sheepishly shaking his head back and forth.
It's also like, I don't know, we're that far away. If anything, we're worse now.
With the Costco guys?
Well, the Haktua girl? Like just every 3 months, there's at least that guy sung, you know?
That's true. That is true. Ime Udoka talked about the Rockets, the brand of basketball that they play, after the game, and I really think that he has summarized everything that I love about this team in this quote that you're going to hear.
People don't see us that often, not being on national TV a lot, but I think the teams that play against us and people who do watch know what kind of brand of basketball we play, physical, aggressive, athletic guys that get out and play with energy, and so I think, you know, we're a fun team to watch. We'll get better on the shooting part, and that'll obviously make us a little more potent. But I think people that do watch know what we are, and it's good to kind of preview that for other people.
Athletic, defense, intensity, all the things that you want. I love it. I love this brand of basketball. That's why I'm wearing my Mario Ellie throwback Houston Rockets jersey today. I think that's why Sean Mapes is wearing his red 713 hat today. Sign of respect, tipping of the hat to our Houston Rockets.
Yeah, big win. Biggest win since before the pandemic.
Maybe
after the pandemic. Maybe the 2020 first round.
Yeah, that's true. OKC. They did make it into the bubble tournament. Yeah, they had at least one win against Oklahoma City in that series, right?
They won the series.
They won the series, right. And then they played the Lakers.
And they won game one.
That's true. They did win game one of that series.
Don't ask what happened after.
One win against the eventual NBA champions.
In the bubble. Yeah. Took it on their home court.
Does that win get an asterisk?
I mean, if everything gets an asterisk.
You're right. This is the biggest win since that game. It's a little sad, but guess what? There's more wins to come. Yeah. I feel very confident saying that going forward. So I'm very excited about this. You should be too. And there's something that we can finally, I think, put to bed after last night. I think we have finally exercised a Houston Rockets demon. And I don't mean the 15-game winning streak that the Warriors had against the Rockets. I think that our mindset can officially shift from what we were to something new. What am I talking about? Stick around and find out. It's Gallon and George, no Joe, just Paul, Sean behind the glass. You want to chime in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 975.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Curry with Brooks on it, pulls back, fires, misses! And then the ball is loose. Throws it back and throws it away! Jalen Green has it, and I think there's a foul called. A foul has been called on Golden State.
Jonathan Kuminga is called for the foul.
Oh, goodness.
They're over the limit. Rockets down one, 3.5 to go, and two free throws coming up for Jalen Green.
I can't believe this foul was actually called.
I'm glad that Ryan Hollins eventually said that, because let's all be honest, guys, the Houston Rockets 100% got away with a BS call to win last night's game. That was complete crap. I will gladly take it. And I think every Rockets fan who's pissed off about the hundreds of uncalled moving screens by the Steve Kerr era Golden State Warriors, this is a little feather in your cap after all of the punishment. That's worse than the 15-game losing streak to the Warriors. All the calls that you thought should have happened. But I think we finally should have exercised something last night. This can no longer be a fan base that complains about the refs. We tip our hat to the refs here. In fact, we back the blue. It's a hard job. It's difficult to see that in the moment. And I don't think that was a foul, but I will gladly accept a call in the Houston Rockets' favor. And can we all now officially retire from believing, thanks to the conditioning that former Rockets broadcaster Bill Worrell, we wish him well, gave us. The Worrell Army, you can officially...
Put down arms?
Put down your arms. Hang up your sword. Put your shield down. The war is over. We can finally stop being, of all fan bases in basketball, perhaps the worst when it comes to complaining about calls, especially given Mr. Flop-Flop himself, James Harden, having been here for like a decade. We can finally rest. The refs are not out to get you.
So now you're saying now I can shred my dossier of all the missed calls?
Yes.
The one that Daryl Morey CC'd me?
You're right.
Okay.
Sean, I'm sure Daryl Morey has that dossier framed in his office in Philadelphia because he believes that he actually won the NBA championship for the 2017-2018 season. Wait, 2017-2018.
2018 playoffs.
2018 playoffs, right. So he probably has that on a plaque because he thought he should have won a title. And, I mean, that's the closest thing you can do to winning a title. They missed 27 straight threes. They deserve to lose. Oh, but the fouls goes the other way. Please stop. We're over this. Exercise the demon, okay? We can all move past. That call was crap. And to make it even better, oh, man. I mean, you know, talk about having a liftoff in my pants after the Rockets did what they did to the Warriors last night. Hearing Steve Kerr complain about the end of that, where the Warriors did clearly get jobbed, made this even better.
Unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. Give them a timeout and let the players decide the game. That's how you officiate.
Pause. He calls it unconscionable. Unconscionable. Please settle down, Stephen. Please settle down. Unconscionable? Was it consistent with the rest of the game? No. I think we can all agree on that. Unconscionable.
Not right or reasonable. Unreasonably excessive.
Look at you with the dictionary pull.
Literally, it's on my phone right now. synonyms. Unethical. Immoral. Immoral. Unprincipled, indefensible, unscrupulous.
It wasn't consistent with the game.
It
was not those things. Dishonorable.
Steve Depraved.
Kerr. I hope the NBA fines Steve Kerr calling a referee dishonorable, because in ancient societies, that ref would have to commit seppuku for unleashing such a crime upon the national TV watching audience. Here is more Steve Kerr on the unconscionable act against his Warriors last night.
Especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. You know, they didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot.
Pause. Okay, if we're going to go down this road, Steve, I mean, was Draymond not doing Draymond things all night last night?
Yeah, that is the Daryl Morey is strong.
Right.
That is a Daryl Morey move right there.
I mean,
let's go back to a jump shot in the third quarter.
Right.
That wasn't called.
Exactly. Dylan Brooks behaved. Draymond, there was a borderline call. I saw a lot of people bitching and moaning about a call that wasn't made. Listen, we cannot get mad about the Azeez Al-Shaair suspension and then cry about that moment where Alperen Şengün got wrapped up by
Draymond. Kind of like grabbed his shoulders as he was going up.
It wasn't flagrant. It was more like an intentional foul.
It's like on the line of like maybe it's a flagrant one depending on the crew that you have.
Yeah.
But that was not like that was not unsafe or anything.
No.
That was just a making sure he doesn't score. That was, like it was an intentional foul.
Right. If they had called an intentional foul, I would have backed that. I like that they didn't call it. I understand there's probably not a lot of crossover between Texans fans who are incensed by what Azeez Al-Shaair got and Rockets fans who are just mad at whatever Draymond Green does. Maybe there's not as much of, you know,
that's part of it.
Crossover.
It's just great Draymond Green.
Right.
If Kevon Looney does that, people
no one cares. Yeah. You're probably right. You're always looking for something that Draymond did.
I mean, I was like, are we going to be right that he's going to get thrown out of this game?
I would like us, though, again, to go back to this. We should condition ourselves to no longer get mad at the refs and just listen to Steve Kerr whining about this. Here's more Steve Kerr after the Rockets took down the Warriors last night, 91-90 in the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup.
Right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line. This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line.
People's jobs on the line.
I am stunned. I'm stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battle back. They play great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys.
Okay. People's jobs are on the line. Whose jobs are on the line? It's the NBA. These guys all make a ton of money.
It's also the NBA Cup.
Right. This is not playoffs. This is a game in December, dude. We're not even at Christmas yet.
I'm trying to think of whose job could have been on the line last night.
Well, listen, a couple of people in the Twitch wanted me to see if we could find a William Hung version of the Cup of Life. That doesn't exist, but the third video that popped up about William Hung was, and I'm not kidding, this made me laugh, but also feel a little bit for William Hung. William Hung is rebuilding his life after gambling addiction. So maybe William Hung's money was on the line last night. I don't know if that's what William Hung does now. He's a professional gambler. He's a gambling addict, that's for sure. I can't think, though, of anyone whose job was on the line other than people who took the over in that game and people who picked the Rockets to win because the Rockets were two-point favorites last night. The Warriors covered.
Yeah, they didn't cover. Little Texans and everybody.
A little bit.
Win and don't cover.
From the Twitch, I imagine William Hung from Junior Broncos stressing over late night San Jose State Hawaii games trying to salvage his losses.
Oh, no.
She does not bang.
Yeah, watching a Mountain West game.
Is there any more Steve Kerr there?
I think that was the end of the.
That was it. Okay.
I mean, he just goes on about how bad he feels for his guys. He did mention that he was like, "I'm pissed off. I wanted to go to Vegas."
Okay, Steve, you've had plenty of opportunities here. We do have some comments on Twitch from Mr. Brostash. Funny how Steve Kerr failed to mention last night in his temper tantrum how Kevin Durant ran out of bounds right in front of the ref in a Western Conference Finals game. I mean, there's a lot of missed calls that you could constantly bring up, and I would just like to us. I would like for us all to recondition ourselves to no longer get mad at referees and end up looking silly like Steve Kerr did after that two-minute wine fest about a call that was probably a foul, just inconsistent with the game.
Yeah, exactly. And you're saying that they should have just given a timeout. So it's still going to be Rockets ball with a chance to take the lead. It still is like the book's not completely closed. It does super help the Warriors' chances, but you know, you still do have more game left to play there.
Would you have trusted the Rockets?
Absolutely not.
I would not have trusted them on offense in that situation.
Not.
Yeah, I was like, thank God, honestly.
After the game, I saw that the Rockets went on a 7-0 run in the last 3 minutes, which is hilarious. A 7-0 run in 3 minutes. And I was like, I don't really remember 7 points being scored.
I don't either. I have no idea. Two of them were the free throws.
I know the layup, the quick two layup that they got. Yeah. That's four. Oh, and the Van Vliet three. Yep. Where I told Dell earlier this morning, when he shot it, I was already shaking my head.
No, don't.
I was already just like, well, that's the game. And he made it. I was like, oh.
Fantastic. We have another comment, too. Everyone clowned the Lakers for hanging a banner for the NBA in-season cup win. I'm guessing this is key in L.A. If Houston does the same, will we also make fun of them or no? No, we won't. We won't. Sorry. We won't. We're hypocrites for sure. But, I mean, the thing with the Lakers is you have, what, 16 titles? Like, that's the difference.
Something like that.
The Rockets have two, and the last one was when Sean Mapes wasn't even alive.
Yeah.
So it is different. It is different.
Yeah, and they also have the second best player of all time on their team.
That too.
Like it is a little funny that a guy who's won four actual championships, what, four? No, I guess at the time only three gold medals to be like, hell yeah, in-season tournament champions. They basically put on a napkin up there.
I hope they do. I hope they
That'd
do.
Be awesome.
I'll go to banner night. We'll get blitzed at banner night. I'll go down courtside.
Do they have an El Tiempo there?
It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, I'll just heckle Vanessa the whole game.
Of course. Got to.
Hey, Vanessa! What's up? Hey!
How about those Colts?
Hey, Vanessa, why did you leave me? Vanessa! I thought what we had was special!
Well, she probably gets yelled at a lot of games. Just random people stumbling in.
Sean Martinez comments on YouTube. We don't celebrate division titles in my house. We don't celebrate NBA Cup titles in my house. Easy. How much does your house have? Do you have banners in your house? Relax.
Yeah, come on.
Listen, it's been rough. It's been rough for the Rockets for a while. This is fun. Enjoy it. Next year, we don't enjoy it. This is sort of like with the Texans last year. Last year was fun. This year, disappointing. Like that's how it goes.
I do think that this bracket broke perfectly for the Rockets. And Rockets fans especially, to celebrate every time they win. Mm-hmm. Because they beat the Warriors, got that monkey off their back.
Yes.
Up next, the OKC Thunder. Like the team that you directly compare yourself to really for the last decade. But especially this new this rebuild that both teams have been under the last 5 or so years.
I am excited for that game. And I'm not sure where I will be out and about watching it. But I will be taking a knee on Lights in the Heights so that I can watch that game.
Wow.
That's very big of me.
That is.
Okay?
That is big on you.
From the 409, Kerr isn't upset about the call. He's just extra irritable due to the outcome of the presidential election. Yeah, that's probably true.
Doesn't help.
Doesn't help. He's still bitter. He's just looking for something to vent about. Honestly, he will get fined for this. Would he get fined for venting about Donald Trump? Probably not, to be honest. I don't think Popovich ever did. I don't think Kerr ever did. It is kind of funny. Like you can't bitch about the refs, but if you bitch about a politician, go for it. Go for it.
He should be like, and why is Tillman Fertitta even the ambassador to
Tillman doesn't even seem Italian. Like Paul only found out he was Italian yesterday because he's stupid.
They should have a guy named Salvador be the ambassador to Italy.
It's Galata, George, no Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in to text it. We will relive the Rockets' big NBA Cup quarterfinal victory over the Golden State Warriors to snap a 15-game losing streak against Golden State all afternoon long. Up next, what's the latest with the Houston Astros when it comes to Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker? We will fill you in. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting really annoyed with the, quote, reporting, end quote, he said sarcastically, that's been going on about this. You're going to hear some of the worst and perhaps some just straight propaganda. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Gentlemen. moment, I'm telling you, I've been watching, I've been involved with NBA basketball for 56 years, and this game just brought all those good days of when Rocket basketball was great and fun during the championship years, because these guys today put it all on the line, and they made a team like the Warriors that beaten them 15 times fall apart like that. Am I happy?
Yeah. You would think.
Love that maniacal laugh. Calvin Murphy on Space City Home Network last night after the Rockets advanced from the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup to the semifinals. They will play the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma City on Saturday night. That's going to be, I think, a very fun game. Got a text and a couple of Twitch comments I want to address from Twitch. Fake Tony Stark 1. I love Warriors tears. Yes, the sweet tears of unfathomable sadness, to quote Eric Cartman, after he made Scott Tenorman eat his parents in an early South Park episode, arguably a top five South Park episode. I think that their tears are delicious. It's a new taste, right? We've never tasted them before.
Yeah, it's the first time.
So I really enjoyed hearing Steve Kerr whine about that after the game, even if he did have a point. I still think Yankee tears are the most delicious. I still think they are. I mean, why else would we play Nick Totoro with a baseball bat ranting about Juan Soto leaving for the New York Mets? Hell, in the congratulatory video that he had about Max Fried, former Brave, signing with the Yankees, he still couldn't help but bitch and moan about Juan Soto along the way. I think Yankee tears are the sweetest tears. What would you say, Sean Mapes? What are the sweetest sports tears to sip on, hater style? Texas A&M after losing to Texas as a Texas guy?
Not really.
Sooner tears?
Those are good. Those are good because it's a little bit of the Warrior. It has a little bit of the Warriors to it, where it's like, for in my life, those are few and far between.
It's been one-sided.
Yeah, New York, the Yankees one is good. It's like everyone has a favorite restaurant or whatever, or favorite, you know, food, and you have it a lot. And that's the Yankees for the last, almost decade is, man, you get it almost every October. You get the Yankees. You get a nice refill of the Yankees tears. So it is like a favorite because it's, you could set your watch to it for so
old,
long.
Old reliable. But yeah. This is a unique sweet treat.
Yes, this is hey, you know, we got a little bonus or something, got a gift card. Now we're going to a restaurant we never go to.
Exactly, right. Like, wait, it's like the Papa's gift card that I have that I haven't used because I'm still trying to find the right somebody to take to Papa's.
Exactly.
I got that on my birthday. I live across the street from the Papa's. I don't know what I'm doing. I should just go and do it myself.
Yeah.
Just get lit. You know,
yeah, they have a
walk across Westheimer on the way back, stumbling, bumbling. I'm sure that'll go well.
You'll fit right in.
No, I'll be dead. If I cross that part of Westheimer, I will die. It's dangerous. I hate that street with a passion. It's so scary. You go west of the Galleria, which is not that far away from us. You want to comment, you can join on Twitch. You can join on YouTube. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, Sean Martinez says, Dodgers tears and Utah Jazz tears, also sweet. Braves tears. There's not really a tears to enjoy from a football perspective. I suppose maybe Titans tears. And you've gotten a lot of Titans tears this year. Sadly, the Titans made us cry because they actually beat the Texans.
Yeah, it does stink that the only team that the Texans historically own is the Bengals. There's not a lot there.
Jaguars too, to a degree. Yeah. Yeah,
Jack's tears were fun. It was fun this past week.
It was this past week. That's true. With the
because you can basically go, you're not a man. You just challenge their manhood for complaining about it.
I'm Trevor Lawrence. My arms are fencing. I'm kidding. I didn't say that seriously. But I mean, that's what a lot of Jaguars fans were acting like. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. It's like it was a bang bang play. It was unnecessary roughness. And we hope Trevor's okay. We wish him well. We wish him well. Yeah,
with the surgery for his shoulder.
Yeah.
Exactly. Season-ending injury on that play.
And the head injury that the field caused, because it was on the Everbank field. I think he should sue it, just like Brett Hartman former Texans punters through the NRG pallet grass system, which destroyed D'Amico Ryan's ACL and ended his career, one would argue, when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He sued them too. Huh, interesting. Anyway, hey, the Houston Astros are still making us wait when it comes to a contract extension for Alex Bregman, or I guess the more possible trade of Kyle Tucker, maybe even Framber Valdez. I saw a couple of reports yesterday. We got to work on what is and what isn't reporting. I like Ari Alexander a lot. Ari Alexander had this tweet yesterday at 3:51 p.m. Can confirm market for Alex Bregman is heating up per source. What does that mean? What does heating up mean? By the way, it's been nearly 24 hours. Doesn't seem very hot. It doesn't seem very hot.
It's a slow cook, all right?
The reporting from the winter meetings is ridiculous. I mean, baseball writers, baseball scribes, my bad, got to give them the proper title, these douche nozzles. They take themselves so seriously, and yet the reporting they're doing, which they believe is akin to Woodward and Bernstein talking to old Deep Throat to bring down Nixon with Watergate, they're acting like they do such a noble thing for the game and that they're storytellers, when in reality, this time of year, they're just throwing BS out there. Because now, being almost right about something is about as good in reporting as actually being right about something. Low bar for everything. But this is the kind of reporting that you get. Things are heating up. Team X is listening to offers for player Y. There's a sense that player Z could be next to sign. That was the one we reported yesterday from Mark Feinsand. Team A had a competitive offer for player B. I saw this one. This is a report about about Alex Bregman, I think, from Brian Hoke. Hearing more buzz connecting Yankees to Alex Bregman. Interest is real. That's not a report. That's not anything. How do you get paid? You're clearly not entertaining or a star like me. How do you get paid? You're just putting gobbledygook out there. Buzzwords. Literally the word buzz. The buzz is heating up. What is that? What does that mean? What are you talking about? Give me an actual story. Give me an actual report. You're there with them. Get these guys on the record and give me a quote. Things are heating up. What? What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's all just so nebulous, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just like, you know, there's a lot of smoke around.
Should I put something out? Should I put something out? Everyone's doing it. I may as well put something out there. And guess what? It'll seem just as real as all this other stuff. Now, I think people know that I'm too sarcastic to actually, you know, pull that one off. I think people are annoyed, in fact, with how sarcastic I am over the course of a show. And that's fine. But I could do this, and I could actually act like I know something. I am one for one with my report. I have one report ever. It was that Jake Locker got benched for Zach Medenberger. And I never wanted to report on anything again because people got so mad at me for reporting this and having it first. I had it. I had a pretty good source. I wanted to get a second source, and then I may have, you know, made it seem like I didn't actually have the story. No, I had it from like the sourciest of sources. But going to a journalism school, I thought I needed to confirm it. Clearly, going to a journalism school was a waste of time because I could just go out there and say, there's a buzz that's heating up about something. Look, shut up. Good God.
I think after, if the market actually is heating up for Bregman and he does sign relatively soon, you should just, like, the, I don't know, hour after he signs, be like, hearing the market's heating up for Jorge Polanco. Hashtag Astros are interested.
Astros might be interested.
Yeah, Astros might be interested.
Astros rumored to be interested.
Yeah,
right.
it's nothing.
Because you could put that out there. I mean, like, this is what people like Michael Schwab do. Like, everyone's doing it. And I went to war with Michael Schwab last night because Michael Schwab's being a propagandist for the Astros. Whoever his person is that's in the Astros is just feeding him stuff, and he's essentially repeating it, Bobo as Bobo can be. Like, it's word for word, essentially. You could tell. Just read what he's saying here. Can we play the Soviet national anthem for a second so we can really give Michael Schwab's propaganda the, I think, ambiance that it deserves? This is from Michael Schwab last night.
Here's your rap on the day.
Let's let the Soviets sing for a little bit.
Here is your wrap-up on the day if you missed it. The night is young. Alex Bregman's market is heating up. Huh? The Red Sox, Yankees, and Phillies are very interested. Astros are still in the mix, but it doesn't seem likely. Kyle Tucker is getting a lot of trade interest, and teams are upping their offers. The Yankees and Cubs are very serious, but it would take a blockbuster deal to make it happen.
This is reporting.
This is reporting. And then we get to a point where Michael Schwab just goes all in, clearly repeating what the Astros are telling him. Trading Kyle Tucker doesn't mean the team is rebuilding. It's very different. I don't want to lose Tuck, but the writing is on the wall that he won't be extended. If you lose him, you lose a five-tool player in the outfield. To make that trade, you need at least two MLB-quality players who keep the team competitive. You also hope you can get one or two prospects to help reload the farm system. I don't see the Astros phoning it in. They still have one of the highest payrolls in baseball. Who told him that? So if the Astros land players like Isaac Paredes and Seiya Suzuki, that means they are going to replace, they are replacing a close to five lowercase b war loss with a combined 6.2 lowercase b war gain. The team nets one lowercase b war and adds two quality bats to the lineup. Also, two players who would crush into the Crawford boxes. The Astros would still have work to do by losing Alex Bregman and his B war, but that's where someone like Christian Walker would be a great fit. Someone from the Astros organization is telling Schwab, who thinks himself an Astros reporter, and hey, more connected than me, all the power in the world to him. He is, but that is just straight propaganda. Like, this is what the Astros could do if they don't get Alex Bregman back. This is what the Astros will do if they trade for those two, using Kyle Tucker to get him. This is propaganda. So that's what reporting is now. It's like just like buzzwords, like, oh, the buzz is heating up. Or it's straight propaganda that's coming from the Astros. It's like, actually, it's not that bad if we move on from Kyle Tucker and if we move on from Alex Bregman, even though the window is never going to close while Jim Crane runs things. Never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Like, listen, we all love the Astros, right? They've done a lot of things for us. But do not lie to us, okay? Don't lie to us. You trade Tucker, step back. You let Bregman walk, step back. Stop. Stop with this. Oh, the B-War is going to actually be better. You get these two. Shut the F up. What are you talking about? Well, I don't even know what that is. What is B-War? That war was the thing we were supposed to study. Where's the Klondorp, Schwab? Where is it, you propagandist? Moscow Michael! Answer me! And on that note, I did get into a back and forth with Schwab. I do feel like he's being a propagandist for the Astros. Hey, listen. We reporters are sometimes made to be useful idiots. Been there before. Like, I'm not dumping on it. I have 100% been a useful idiot for certain Houston sports figures in the past. I was young. I learned. But I got into it with him about this. He also said, like, when I suggested, why don't the Astros think about using deferred salaries? Why do the Astros have this weird line in the sand that they draw when it comes to offering a player more than a 5 or 6 year deal? Because, like, they just won't do it. And honestly, it feels like that. What's one extra year for Alex Bregman? You signed up for 3 years of Rafael Montero. You signed up for 3 years of Jose Abreu, who's clearly diminishing in skill. What's one more year of Alex Bregman? Is it really going to hurt? One more year? Because it feels like the one more year is going to get this thing finished. But I think Jim Crane has a code. And I get it. Like, every man has to have a code, to quote the great Omar or the Hound in Game of Thrones. This is a great scene from Wire Season 1.
A man must have a code. Oh, no doubt.
Indeed. Indeed. You got to have a code. But the Astros code is, hey, we're never going to give somebody more than a 6 year deal. Why? 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 Bregman can't be an exception. You're so married to this. Like, you got to adapt. You do have to adapt if you want to keep this thing together. And maybe you need to use something like deferring salaries or something like that. And Schwab was making this argument. And again, it felt propagandist to me that, hey, the reason that the Astros aren't doing this is because deferred salaries are really so that states like California
and states like New York, the teams can avoid players getting taxed as much as they would. Okay, maybe that is a factor. And I saw that there are some California politicians that are bitching about the deferred contract that Shohei Ohtani got, because that's tax dollars that's lost if you defer the salary the way that they're doing. Or it's tax dollars that won't really be as much due to inflation and being down the road, et cetera, et cetera. And okay, maybe that is a factor, but I think that's a very convenient red herring for the Houston Astros to point to and say, like, oh, well, maybe they're just doing it because they're in California, right? Deferred salaries do give an edge. It's not just about let's make it so that Shohei Ohtani can get all of his money. It can't be just that. It has to be something else. Why would the Dodgers be doing it? Why? What's it? $1 billion in deferred contracts that they've given out? Deferred salary? Is it just because they want to exploit a loophole that allows those players to make money? No. They also want to win. They're taking advantage of a loophole. And since they have a hedge fund that's basically funding them, that allows them to do things like this, to be creative like this. But why aren't the Astros being creative like this? I feel like the Astros are married to this code that they have, and they don't need to be married to it. You know, we heard from Dana Brown yesterday talking about flexibility. Well, where's the flexibility? It feels like you're like, nope, it is against the rules for us to give a contract that's longer than 6 years. And okay, maybe you can't do deferred salary. Maybe Schwab is an accountant by day, aggregator by night. I truly don't know. If he is, like, props to you. I don't know much about all this stuff. And maybe you actually are making the correct point here. But it does feel like the Astros are feeding you that. And I feel like the Astros should be open to exploring alternative ways to keep everyone around. That doesn't mean that they had to keep Correa. It doesn't mean that they had to keep Springer. It doesn't mean that they had to keep Gerrit Cole or anything like that. No, it doesn't. But I do feel like they have such a hardline approach to it, and it's worked, but it stands to reason that this is the time where it won't. With a guy like Bregman, the intangibles he brings to the table, his patience at the plate, his fielding ability. Even if he gets off to the slow starts, the guy delivers in the playoffs. You trust him more than you trust Kyle Tucker. Don't you want that guy around? I mean, he's 30. What's so bad about 7 years from now when this team is probably going to blow, right? Can we agree on that? It would be great to keep this going, but I mean, does anyone think that 7 years from now this is going to still be going? That would be impossible. Like the Spurs and the Patriots, like those are really the only modern examples of like a 15-year dynasty or so. I guess the Warriors, you could argue too, like, but they're not quite to the 14, 15-year mark, right? I mean, they're about 10. It's hard to maintain this. Why are we so scared about something that's 2 years down the road? And it feels like the Astros are just married to some weird, old, antiquated system that they have yet to adapt to. But they're saying the window is open all the time. Okay, doesn't seem like it because you're not opening it all the way. It's like a crack.
It's also the team is getting worse. Like the team is not as good the last 2 years as they were in 2019 and before. Like the arrow is pretty clearly pointing down on this team, and they're basically volunteering to go further down, which is, yeah, I mean, you can mention all the war you want. Again, I've also seen Moneyball, Michael Schwab. I know what replacing someone in the aggregate means. That was just a fancy way of saying the Brad Pitt line from Moneyball that, yeah, you just get two war players, and that's the same as having 6 war players. Like, not really. That's not actually how it works.
It's not. I mean, he does things that many other players can't do. And, okay, like, if Tucker's starting to suck, you can sell me on that. Mm-hmm. He's bad in the postseason, but when he's healthy, he's not bad. And I think he's going to be good this coming season, given that, one, his leg injury should be healed, finally, that the Astros claimed wasn't broken. Oops, can't say that. They effed this up a little bit. That was an unintentional swear for a change. Tip of the hat. Yeah. Sometimes it just slips out. But they effed that up, the Astros did, by acting like he didn't have a broken bone in his leg. He did. Like, clearly he's going to be mad about that. So he should be healthy next year. And, of course, it's the last year of his contract. So stands to reason this is going to be the best year of his career next year. Some people would say, well, you would say the same thing about Alex Bregman. Okay, fair counterargument. I mean, it did take Bregman a while to get going in the last year of his deal. But, I mean, did he not finish out the year strong? Did you not finish out the year making you want to keep him around? Text from the 832, like, I'm not paying $20 for beers if Bregman isn't out there at third base. I feel the same way. I feel the same way. So, I think the Astros have to look at themselves in the mirror. They have to ask this question. Do we really need to stick to this code that we have arbitrarily created for specifically Alex Bregman? And does it really help us out to trade Kyle Tucker for two players and hopefully a prospect, but it doesn't seem like the Cubs want to part ways with the prospect the Astros want. Does it really make sense to draw this line in the sand and then also say, like, yeah, we'll be better by moving an elite talent that could be making $500 million after next year for two above average to good players? And I'm sure someone's going to say they're better than that. Whatever. Go ahead. I ain't watching the Cubs. Maybe Joe can tell us about that. It is no Joe, Josh Paul, Galata George. Sean is behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call into text. And you can join on Twitch as well at ESPN 975. Junior Bronco says the code only works if you stick to it 100% of the time. That is a fair counter argument. But shouldn't there be exceptions? I think there should be some exceptions, and I get it. Like, oh, you draw the line for your players as an ownership group, but I don't see the win here, unless you're like, oh, they're going to get a compensatory pick back. The average B-war of a seventh round pick. Well, my God, I got liftoff. Oh, relentless in my pants. Galan and George, up next. We talk about the Rockets, their big win over the Golden State Warriors. And on top of that, it's time for the Houston Texans to press the reset button. They're finally back. Dolphins on Sunday. Will they be able to be a completely new team after a bye week and a makeover? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.